Natalia Lemley, who plays Cohen, Macy Corston, who plays Tyler, and Laura Wise, who plays Sam, are all here in the studio, all mic'd up, all ready to go. The film is The Fade Rebellion. Tim Bangle is the writer-director, and he's here with us in spirit, but he's not. His voice is not going to be here on the airwaves, I guess. Well, you might hear him in the background. We'll see. And let's introduce ourselves in the order that I mentioned it. Natalia, say good morning.
Good morning.
And Macy.
Good morning.
And Alora.
Good morning.
Thank you guys for coming down. This is, I guess, where are you at now in terms of being ready to see the movie on Saturday? Is all your work done? Is all that you have to do is just show up on Saturday, right? Pretty much.
Yep, that's about it.
Where are you? How about mentally? Are you prepared to go to the premiere? Is there anything you have to do? Like, do you have to give a speech or anything when it's over?
I'm giving a little information and my thoughts on some of the content in the movie, but I'm not doing any kind of big speeches or anything. But just, I'm excited to see the movie and finally get to see the finished product after a very long time working on it.
So you have not seen it?
I have not seen it.
Okay. Alora, you have seen
yes.
it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I have.
Without special effects?
Yep, right. Without special effects.
Okay, the rough cut. Mm-hmm. What did you think?
I thought it was really good. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed watching it all put together. I thought it was really cool to see after all the work, because I know the scenes that I'm in, and I was in quite a few being the lead. Mm-hmm. But it was really cool to see the other little scenes. Like, there was one at the beginning that was very cool. I thought that was really interesting, all of our hard work put together.
Yeah. Excited to see it on the big screen?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Natalia, you also have not seen it. Do you have any preparation to do before Saturday, or are you just twiddling your thumbs, waiting for time to pass? And
kind of just waiting for time to pass, but also I plan on rewatching the first part because it's been a while since I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I guess we should mention this is a sequel to The Fade Resistance. The movie that's coming out on Saturday is called The Fade Rebellion. And there is a possibility for an untitled third chapter in this series. As far as I know, it's untitled. Tim would not say the title last week. Would you guys know what the title is at this point?
Nope.
Even know. No, he's tight-lipped.
I don't think so.
He told us there was, I'm not sure if this has to do with the third movie, but he told us there was a little cut scene at the end, some sort of tag scene.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see. I haven't seen that yet. That was just thrown in.
A little teaser.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, let's talk character, I guess. Should we start with the lead? What is your? Can you describe who your character is and what she's up to, without spoiling the whole movie?
I'll try. All right. At the beginning, in part one, I would definitely recommend watching that before going to the movie. But at the beginning, I was more scared in a shell from past things that had happened to me. And I think throughout the film, I gain more confidence and I learn more about the people around me and more about, honestly, how things don't revolve around me. And I need to respect how other people see things, and I need to give people space sometimes. And I think a big part of it was learning to let go of hatred that I had in the past and let go of things like that and stop treating myself as a big priority in things and start looking at smaller things and how my friends in the movie felt, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's Sam. She's the lead.
Yeah.
Okay. The character's name is Sam. Alora is the actress portraying her. Macy, who's Tyler?
Tyler is the older sister of Cohen, and that is a lot of what defines her. She is very protective over Cohen, but they throughout the first movie, I am not seen as much, or at least seen as the character due to some circumstances that leads her not in control of her own facilities. And so in the second movie, we really get to see more of who Tyler is, which is kind of exciting to explore. But it's definitely, she battles with control. And that's something I'm going to be talking about before in the movie. So you should come see it. But it's just a battle of control for her and moving through and trying to protect her friends, really.
Mm-hmm. And Natalia, I guess that would make Cohen the younger sister.
Yes. Tyler's the older sister, Cohen. Mm-hmm. And Cohen, throughout the first part, is seen very little, and you only get a slight hint of her personality. And in this next part, The Fade Rebellion, you get to see a lot of how Cohen acts, and also how Cohen acts without her sister around. Which is really interesting to explore with her character.
Yeah, she's got an independent life when her sister's not around, so they're mm-hmm. a little different. That's cool. The movie, we should mention, the first part, The Resistance, is available on YouTube, and anybody who's listening right now could go and watch it for free if they want to. I think you can find it through the Other Dog Films YouTube page, or I bet if you search The Fade Resistance, it won't be too hard to find it. So in the movie, the rebellion, or I guess, let me go back to The Resistance. Was that your guys' first experience acting?
It was not my first experience acting. It was my first experience with film.
Okay.
But I had done previously quite a bit of acting.
On stage. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Same for me.
Okay.
It was my first time both acting in front of, just in general.
Just acting in period. Mm-hmm. Okay. What made you, so you were trying it for the first time. What made you decide you were going to go for, become an actress, at least in this film?
Well, I already had an interest in theater, mm-hmm. as is, and just acting in general. So I saw it as an opportunity to get a feel for what it's like, and seemed like a cool opportunity.
Mm-hmm. You're all young women. Can I ask ages or grades in school?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Natalia.
I am 16.
Currently 16?
Yes.
Yeah. So in the first movie, you're probably, what, 12 or younger?
In the first movie? I honestly don't remember what my age was.
We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Okay, Macy, you're...
I am currently 18.
You are the older sister.
Yes.
Okay, and you are in college then?
I am. I'm in my first year of college, about to finish that.
Cool. And Alora?
Freshman in high school. I think I started the movie. Oh, and I'm 14.
Yeah.
But I think 12.
Wow.
I'm almost 15 next month, so I think I was probably 12.
At the beginning of?
The first The Fade Resistance.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the principal cast is young people. I mean, the main characters are all like young people. You guys are aging, of course. Do you find that the kind of the aging process, as you're now in your later teens and not your earlier teens or preteens, is that being incorporated into your characters at
yes.
all?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would 100% say so, or at least, like, I think we act it. Like, mm-hmm. as we've aged a little bit, I think that's helped our character change. Because I know at part one, there was quite a few things that I think I could have done a lot better knowing what I know now and mm-hmm. looking back on it. I think part one was a big trial run in everything, kind of seeing... I mean, it was almost everybody's first time with filmmaking, so it was just something really new.
Mm.
But I think growing up, it's helped me realize how my character works and see things a little bit differently than I used to. So I can kind of better fit into that character, knowing what I do now about the movie and being able to understand things at a deeper level.
Yeah, and for me, I was always quite a bit older, or a couple years. I think mm-hmm. When I started filming, I was 16, and everyone else was in the 12, 13 range.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really helped me embrace the older sister role for not just Cohen, but also for the others in the group, as I was one of the older of the kids. And I'm the eldest sibling in my family, so that also helps me embrace that. But as I've grown, I've definitely improved my acting ability as I'm in theater for college, or in college for theater now.
Mm-hmm.
So just looking back and being able to have the recorded version of my acting and see how it has grown
mm-hmm.
Throughout my high school years and now into college, it's a really cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
I'd definitely say it's helped, like, figuring out how my character would react to situations as she's grown up as well. I was going to say something. I forgot it.
That's okay. That happens all the time. I do that pretty regularly. Let me interrupt and say you're listening to 885 KRFY. This is the morning show, and we're talking to Natalia Lemley, Macy Corsten, and Alora Wise. And we are talking about the Fade Rebellion, in which they are all principal actors. Alora, who plays Sam, is the lead. And Alora, you also did a little writing this time around.
Yes.
Not so much for the first one, but for this one, you contributed to, at least I'm guessing, dialogue that you participated in was your.
Yes, yeah. I would say I did not do nearly as much writing as everybody else, but I think mm-hmm. a big reason I wanted to do it was so I could hear the ideas kind of going into it and kind of just know what to expect. And I had some ideas of my own that I kind of threw in, but I think most of it was wanting to learn that. How the whole thing was put together.
Mm-hmm.
I did meet with Tim at the library one time for like 45 minutes, and I did a little bit of a read through and like talked to him about a couple things and threw out some ideas that he wrote down. But I think there's definitely a couple ideas of mine in there, but I'd say for the most part, I just was there to listen to the whole thing come together.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys contribute writing, at least on the page, at all?
I didn't contribute anything on the page. Maybe an ad-libbed line here or there when yeah. I felt it was in character, but I didn't contribute in the writing process at all.
Yeah. I guess this is a question I asked the guys, too, but like how much do you find is the character just there on the page, and how much of it is you? How much do you think you're bringing to the character, and how much of it, it comes out of your own life?
I would say that I feel like if there's a line that doesn't really fit, like the way that we say it doesn't seem to work out. I know that I do this. I'm sure that they do it too, but we'll talk to Tim and we'll be like, I don't know how that one feels like in the moment. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's definitely different than writing it. And there's certain things or little words that will kind of change, like knowing what we do about our characters. I'd say for the most part, like we stick to script, but there's definitely a couple times where we tweaked a few things. I mean, there was like tons of rewrites for it. We changed scenes often when it didn't just feel right. So I think that there was a little bit of a personal touch to a couple of the lines on there that just didn't feel quite mm-hmm. like they should.
Yeah, I definitely agree. One thing that I noticed myself just sort of subconsciously doing is that if something that was written for like Cohen didn't feel right for how she would say it, like I would keep the meaning the same, but
yeah.
My brain would kind of reword it itself, and I would just end up phrasing it in a different way that made more sense to Cohen just unintentionally.
Yeah. Do you guys so Alora, you already were acting elsewhere, and I'm guessing yeah. you've continued on stage too. Natalia, this was your this was your first acting experience, but have you continued with it?
Yes. Last year I was in Mamma Mia as ensemble, and then this last year, last school year, I was in Holder Posey as Mayor Gullible.
Mayor Gullible in Holder Posey. Okay. I can't say I'm familiar with the play. I'm sorry. But it sounds, I like the character though. Mayor Gullible. Are you considering following in your big sister's footsteps and continuing to pursue acting as once you're out of high school or out of the area?
Yes, at least community theater. Actually, I'm currently in Legally Blonde that they're working on in LPL.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Neat. Okay. And then Macy, of course, you have stuck with acting.
Yes.
Yeah. So what that's your like official major in college?
Yeah. I'm double majoring, but that's the main thing I'm currently working on.
Okay. When did you decide you were going to be a theater major or drama major?
Really, I had originally started with another major, virtual technology and design, as I wanted to do animation. And then I got more involved with the theater community here at the high school, as well as some community theater down in Coeur d'Alene. And just as I got more involved in it, I realized that this is really what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. So I don't think there was any one epiphany moment, but it was definitely a slow, like a gradual lean towards that. And I had originally only was going to go for just a minor. But then I decided I went and saw Wicked in Spokane, the Broadway show that came through. And then I'm like, nope, I'm going to double major and do this for the rest of my life.
That's cool. So what kind of roles do you find yourself gravitating towards now that you're, in it? I'm guessing you have to be ready to do anything, but like, what do you like to do best?
Right now I'm doing both theater technology and the acting side of it. I'm currently in a play called Orlando. I'm the understudy for the lead, down at the University of Idaho, which is a pretty fun show. But I've done, I've been an assistant stage manager for a couple of shows over this last year, and worked a bunch of different crew positions. Then I'm also in all of my acting classes, so I've gotten experience that way.
Yeah.
But just a bunch of different things over the last year. I've been dove right into it and probably did a few too many things for my schedule, but it's been a lot of fun.
Do you ever have to do accents?
I do, but I don't have... I have a really bad British accent, but that's about it.
I should pull up some Shakespeare or something like that after the music break.
I have a
break.
Shakespeare monologue because I've... Okay. I'm doing monologues and things, and I'm currently working on Shakespeare.
Okay.
It's a lovely experience.
Do you have it, like, off the top of your head?
And may it be, and you have quite forgot a husband's office, Antipholus. Shall, even in the spring of love, thy love springs rot? Shall love and building grow so ruinous? If you did wed my sister for her wealth, then for her wealth's sake, treat her with more kindness. If you love elsewhere, do it by stealth. And the rest I have to get. My teacher wants me to be memorized by now, so hopefully he won't listen to this and know that I'm not memorized. Sorry, DLP.
Is that, I'm blanking on the name of that play. What would that be from?
It's Comedy of Errors.
Okay.
Luciana, yep. Comedy of Errors.
Okay. Cool. And I guess Alora, what have you been up to on stage other than working with the Fade?
Well, I did a lot of acting before. Like I said, I think I mentioned that. But I did a lot of acting before, and then this was my first film, and it was a lot different than I anticipated. After that, I did two more films. There's one. Not sure the name of it. I got it through my talent agency, but it was a little, I was a cheerleader and I was supposed to be kind of a backup kind of person. There was like a head cheerleader but we ended up improvising that. And then I did another local movie called Planted, for the 168 Film Festival. and we got first place in that. That was really cool. For theater acting on stage, I don't think I've done anything since the film. I've mostly stuck to the film side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But I've kind of branched off from acting a little bit more. I'm cheerleading in high school, and yeah, that takes up a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
I was considering doing the high school play, but cheerleading was in the way of that. So I'm mostly sticking on that mm-hmm. side of things. But if there's little things that pop up, I probably will definitely go for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys, let's talk a little bit about the movie itself. Like, who do you think this movie is for? When we're thinking about the audience that you expect to show up on Saturday, you know, who would you like to be there? What kind of people might be listening right now would like this movie?
I think a lot of the initial people going to be here at this premiere will be parents and friends and things.
People you know, yeah.
Yeah, but I definitely think demographic-wise, probably late teen through 30s, 40s my age. But mm-hmm. I definitely think that the, like, college student 20s kind of range are going to really enjoy the movie, as well as the late teens.
Can we describe it? Maybe you guys can describe it more than Tim was willing to last time. See if you, maybe I can coax some spoilers out of you. The movie's, it's a sci-fi, more or less science fiction based tale, but it's pretty grounded from what I understand.
Right? Not, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take place in like outer space or anything like that.
No.
Can you tell me like the story or at least the beginning of it? Would anyone like to take a stab at that?
I can share kind of what happened towards the end of part one leading in, but sure. I'm not sure how much I can share without spoiling a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say in part one, it's about a girl who gets kidnapped and tries to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big part of the beginning, like the first film, is her getting over that and figuring out how to cope. And it kind of shows her story of what happened. And then the second film branches out a little bit more with, I'm not sure if it's going to spoil it or not, but it's kind of...
Tim can dive and tackle you if it goes too far.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, just one. I feel like it branches into this bigger concept, further than that. So it starts with this one girl who like traces things, and it gets into this bigger thing, and she finds out things happen to people very close in her family that changes the way that she thinks about things, and that kind of snap her out of whatever her brain was thinking before. Because I think even after what happened, she was self-focused on herself and not thinking about other people, like I was saying earlier, and how her actions affected other people. So I think things that happen in her close family and things that she finds out really change the way she sees things. Same with things that happen with her friends. I can say that some of her friends and her kind of fell, and I think that changed the way that she saw quite a few things.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take it. I'm not sure what I'm going to spoil.
Mm-hmm.
I think definitely the first, you had a, I definitely think that the first movie is very much focused on the four kids and just their story. And then the second movie expands to more of a systemic, not necessarily societal issue, but it becomes, instead of just seeing one person as the problem, and you realize there's an entire organization behind it and it's not just her. And so... really getting to, and the kids aren't necessarily getting into it because, oh, they're just dumb kids and they accidentally walked into something they didn't need to be. They're unfortunately linked via family connections and end up in this problem and in this organization. They have to try and get themselves out and help people how they can. And it just becomes, you start seeing connections and how much bigger the problem gets. From that we get to see in the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd also say that the second movie, it deals a lot with, like, different types of grief and how different people handle that.
Yeah.
Just, like, and how they react to each other and kind of how the blame game can play.
Mm-hmm. Sci-fi is a great genre for exploring, like real world issues in a new and you can bring a different perspective to it. It's 8:30 and we're going to take a brief music break. When we come back, I want to talk to you guys about the action component of it. I understand there's a little bit more. It's not just drama and people talking to each other. There's been some, a little choreography in this film. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and what you guys most appreciated about the filmmaking experience. On this date, in 1964, which would be 60 years ago, is anybody in good with arithmetic? I think it's 60 years ago. The Beatles, you've heard of them? Okay. The Beatles were on the Billboard Top 100, Hot 100 chart with all five of the top spots. Let me see if I can find. I'll find that full list later. But the number three song was this one off of 1963's "Meet the Beatles," as released in the United States. And you guys may or may not have heard this before. Here's the Beatles. We'll be back talking with Natalia, Macy, and Alora from the Fade Rebellion in just a few minutes. If I haven't mentioned it yet, the premiere is this Saturday, April 6th, and it's at the Panada Theater. Tickets available through panada.org and elsewhere. We'll go over that when we return. Here's the Beatles. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. That one is called Roll Over Beethoven. It was number three. Also on the same day, at this time, 60 years ago, they were at number five with Please Please Me, number four with I Want to Hold Your Hand, number three with Roll Over Beethoven, number two with Love Me Do, and at number one with Can't Buy Me Love. They also had another nine singles elsewhere on the chart, bringing their total to 14 singles on the Hot 100 on this date. 1964, The Beatles. It's going to be tough for anybody to ever repeat that feat, I think. Things are going to have to change in the music industry a little bit before that comes around again. We are here in the studio. My name is Jack Peterson. Lonesome Jack today without a co-host, and I'm talking with Alora Wise, Macy Corsten, and Natalia Lemley, all three of them actors in The Fade Rebellion, motion picture directed by Tim Bangle, premiering this Saturday at the Panada Theater. Tickets available at the door and on Eventbrite. And it looks like the show starts at 6 p.m., but the doors open. Or sorry, the show starts at 7, doors open at 6, an hour before the show. There will be, as far as I understand, there will be an actual red carpet. Do you guys, what does your Saturday look like? When do you guys like have a dinner beforehand, a limo coming and pick you up and drop you off? Or what is everybody doing on Saturday?
My Saturday is busy as I'm down in Moscow for my school. I have rehearsal that morning for the play I'm in. Then I'm driving up here. So I'm not doing anything fancy that day, but then I will be here and get to do the whole red carpet in the limo, just like last time. It was lots of fun.
Cool. That's Macy. Natalia, Alora, you guys doing anything beforehand or after?
You can go first.
Not that I'm aware of. That might change, but from what I'm aware of, it'll just be getting ready and mentally preparing as well for the red carpet event at 6.
My grandparents are driving up from Wisconsin. I told them not to go to the first show and just come to the second because I wanted them to see it all together at once, is what I told them. I didn't want them to see it at the beginning and then at the end. So I was like, you guys should come up for this show. So they're getting here Friday, and I'm having dinner with them at 6. And then Saturday, I'll probably just be hanging out with them most of the day and then start getting ready for the carpet or maybe go hang out with some people before. But I've only done 2 of them, so I'm not really sure how it's going to work this time.
Okay. Couple of things we want to talk about here before we run out of time. I was interested in you've incorporated elements of action more so than in this movie than in the previous one. What was your guys' experience with that? And I'm guessing very different from what it's like on stage, probably. Who's got the most to do physically in this movie?
That Tyler. Would be me, Tyler. Okay. Tyler is a very aggressive character, and instead of talking about things, she decides to punch people in the face, which she does a lot. There's a lot of scenes that I got to practice and do all of the fun stage combat stuff. I love that as I've done it in theater. I've taken classes on it. It's a lot of fun. And it's just working with the main thing that I found was the most difficult was the elements to work with, then having to be outside instead of on a clean, dry stage with mats and in nice shoes and you're inside. But this time, the one scene that got me was I had to chase around one of the characters that will be introduced in the second film. And there was like March, February snow on the ground. So it's like mostly ice and a little bit of slush. And the boots I was wearing were not my friends. And so I was running and I was falling more than I was running. So it was a lovely experience. We have many, many a blooper roll with that one. There's a video. Is it on the Facebook page? It's on the Facebook page of that same scene where it's just like, okay, Macy, Tim says, okay, Macy, we need you to stop falling. It was funny before, but we need to get this done. And I'm like, okay, let's do that. And then Tim says action, and I immediately fall into the snow and just eat it unintentionally. That was not my choice, but it was. We have many hilarious footage from that day. But yeah.
Did anybody ever like get hurt? Pretty safe, yeah.
Did I? Oh, yes, I did. I forgot about that.
Obviously, yeah, the scars are still with you.
Well, kind of tying into a little bit of combat and weather. I never did any sort of fighting. That was not really my thing. I was always kind of peaceful or running away.
Yeah.
So I never did like anything. But when I did anything peaceful, something seemed to happen to me. And I would end up laying in the snow for, like, hours on end so that for just placement, I guess. And I had to get so I can't really spoil this, but there was one scene, well, in part one, my very first day on the set, he had me come in with shorts and a T-shirt in, like, January or December or something like that. No, it wasn't. It was sometime.
Tell the story as you remember.
Slightly cold.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Shorts, yeah. T-shirt. Picture this, all right? I go there. He makes me sit in a room filled with mud.
Okay.
And it's probably like 15 degrees outside. And that scene was my first day. And it was not the most pleasant. But that happened. So it's really something. And he just continues to do this the entire process of the film. There's quite a few times where I'm laying in the mud for, like, hours. But yeah, weather was a big thing for me, I think, because most of the time it was in the cold. It was always cold. And if it wasn't cold, it was way too hot for a little bit and then really cold again.
Mm-hmm.
So there was times where we were kneeling in the grass. I know I had a scene with these two where we were kneeling in the grass for a while. We really liked winter filming. I think that was Tim's thing. So. Yeah, but
yeah,
I got back to the actual thing I was supposed to be talking about. I got hurt because I burnt myself when I was like getting ready or something. I don't remember. I burnt my hand on this. There's a stove thing because we were filming in this room in part one. And I burnt myself on that. Definitely scraped up my knees a couple times from falling, but just stuff like that.
Yeah, you're tough. Go ahead and tell you.
I never got injured because of filming, I don't think, but I did have injuries throughout. For example, I hurt my pointer finger pretty bad at one point, and that was kind of an issue because Cohen uses sign language, and I had a little cast thing on my finger, and that just was not gonna fly for filming.
Like a speech impediment. Yeah. That's so you had to fight through it, I guess? Take it off? Was it a removable cast, or did you have to write that into the character?
It was removable.
Yeah.
But I think we did have to push back a couple film things a couple times just to figure out how to make it not look like someone absolutely mangled my finger.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I got sprained ankles. I forgot about this completely.
Mm-hmm.
In one of the scenes, I'm pushing down a limp because I don't remember what I did, but I sprained my ankle really bad, and Tim said it was really noticeable.
Yeah.
Because I was limping around. So that was pretty bad. I did that offset. Yeah, and then there was another time, well, it's pretty big, but I dislocated and fractured my elbow, like, in between part one and part two.
Mm-hmm.
So it was mostly healed up by then, I think, but I broke it, like, maybe a month after filming part one, so.
The elbow.
Yeah.
That sounds rough. Ouch. Any injuries for you, Macy?
No, I don't think I injured myself unscathed at all, which is the funny thing. It's slightly ironic since I was the one doing the majority of the stage combat and the fighting, and I was the only one of, I think the only one of the four of us that didn't get injured at some point during the filming or outside of filming during the run of the show.
Yeah. Well, your training, that carried you through, I guess.
Yeah.
let's see. The weather, so these movies are both set in wintertime. This was a weird, the winters that we've had lately have not been real consistently reliable weather-wise. Do you guys struggle with that?
Oh, yeah. The main thing was getting to the point that there was enough snow to film so that then it would look like we were in the same time frame as when we had previously filmed.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of sections that are half filmed in 2020 or the beginning of 2023, and the other half is filmed at the very end of 2023 because we lost the snow before we could finish everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was a huge one.
Yeah.
And so battling the fact everybody was getting taller and their hair was growing and all of the
different changing things over the year.
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, half of the girls in the cast wanted to cut their hair and they couldn't yet.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Included.
When I started the show, my hair was about to my chin. By the time we finished filming everything, my hair was like mid chest. Like it had grown a lot. And I had wanted to cut off all my hair. And so as soon as I got the okay that we were done with all of the filming, I chopped all of my hair off. And now it is, like, by my ear. It's really short now. But I'm just like, no more hair.
Mm-hmm.
Chopped it off. But I've been asking Tim since probably last April, May, of 2023 can be like, can I cut my hair now?
I also was nagging him from around that time of, can I just chop it all off yet?
Uh-huh. You both went pretty short with your hair, mm-hmm. I guess. But in the movie, you guys have long hair?
Yeah.
Is there? Okay. Oh, that'll be jarring for the folks who see you on the red carpet.
I think. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since I haven't seen some of them since the end of filming, some of them haven't seen me yet. Some of them don't know that my hair is now substantially shorter. Yeah.
I think with me, other than hair, I got braces.
Mm-hmm.
So for part one, I didn't. For part two, didn't. And then, because we kind of filmed part two and three at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to redo, I can't remember, part two and part three are like together.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end of it, like she was saying, in 2023, at the very beginning, I was hoping to get them by April, May. And I think I got them right after we were done filming for then, because the snow wall melted. And then by the end of it, when we started filming up again, once it snowed at the end of 2023, I had braces on. So we had to film around that because I had been waiting. I think I was waiting for a couple months and I wanted to get the okay on how that would work. So we had to cheat a couple scenes out. But it actually worked pretty well. I didn't see them in it in the last few scenes kind of thrown through. So
close-ups like from the nose up.
Yeah, kind of, or from this side, I'm talking like that way. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how you could actually pretty easily avoid seeing that as long as you're not shooting straight on close up. It's like 8:50. So we're getting close to the end of the show. A couple other just members of the cast I want to mention. It's not strictly young people who are in the cast. There are names that pop for me here on the website. Keely Gray, Andrew Sorg, Michael Bigley, Kate McAllister. If you're somebody who watches plays or follows the local theater scene, there's a lot of, and more than that too, but a lot of familiar names. Do you guys interact with the adult cast as well, or are these kind of two different parts of the movie?
Yeah, I definitely interacted with them some, slightly more than others, I think, just because I was on the older end of things. But I also worked with them outside of the movie. I did a couple of shows and things that I worked on with that group of people, Into the Woods, last May. I worked with them. So I've gotten to see them around and do other things with them, but I definitely have hung out with them on set and talked to them and worked with them before. And they're all fantastic actors.
Yes, I agree. I feel like I filmed with those, with Kate and Keely, quite a bit, and Holly too. They were all pretty close to my character in the film. We were all pretty close. So we filmed a lot of scenes together, and I had already done a play with Kate. It was called Night of the Bards. I did that like 2 years ago. And then Keely was my acting coach, theater person. I did plays with her from when I was like 7 up until like 2 years ago. So I had always known her, and I just met Holly there and then. But they're really great people. They're really good actors. They're amazing. And I feel like I'm really happy I got closer with them on a more even level. I'm not really sure how I'd say that. But before, it was kind of like, in Night of the Bard, she was like my grandma. And it was like, it was a different kind of relationship than I had in the play. And Keely was my teacher. So it was a lot different than it is.
Yeah. A little more peers in this one.
Yeah. In a way.
Okay. Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I personally, for filming, I didn't interact with the adults as much. Part two, I interact with some of them. But outside of filming, I have interacted with some of them. I helped Macy a bit with Into the Woods, so I met a lot of them. And my mom knows Keely, so I've met the adults and seen them around, and I've met more of them through Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Well, it's a tight-knit community. The movie is The Fade Rebellion. There was a red carpet premiere coming up at the Panetta Theater on Saturday, April 6th. We are talking to Macy Corsten, Alora Wise, and Natalia Lemley. I'm trying to mix the names up in order, but they are cast members of the film. Tim Bangle is the director of the motion picture, and tickets are available, panetta.org and elsewhere. Is there, before I chase you guys out of the theater or out of the studio, is there more we didn't mention? Anything else you guys want to say before we go?
Red carpet's at 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Come see us. It'll be a lot of fun.
Did you do you guys eat well on the shoot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim kept us fed.
Good.
That's definitely something. In part one, we always had food.
Yeah.
And I think same thing with part two and three. It was a little bit different because we were filming in more remote locations, kind of,
mm-hmm.
Or in the woods. So it was a little bit different, but we definitely always had food. So I was really looking forward to eating the bagels and Pop-Tarts that he brought all the time.
There was always at least goldfish.
Oh, yeah.
I love goldfish.
Or in oranges or oranges apples.
Oranges were my favorite.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the bagels with no cream cheese. Oh, and then he bought the, what flavor was that cream cheese that was like?
Was it strawberry?
It was like some sort of strawberry shortcake cream cheese. So,
uh-huh.
But he always had food there. So,
uh-huh. On a jalapeno cheddar bagel or something like that.
Very regular, yeah. Plain, yeah. Bagel. Yeah,
just mm-hmm. Bagels.
Yeah,
just bagels. Well, bags of bagels.
Yum.
Probably eat a ton of bagels.
Yeah. Any particular favorite memories? Anything that won't show up on the screen that you guys had a good time doing?
Bloopers.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the bloopers, I'm sure quite a few people can agree. I think a lot of bloopers were probably some of the best parts.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, I think, sure. I think the best parts were probably the things that weren't filmed. The most memorable parts, or the things that were filmed and not put in because it was really stupid. But I think those were probably the times where I made the most memories.
Mm.
There are a few scenes that are like deep where I feel like I got closer with the actors that I loved filming, but I think the more memorable were the things that aren't in the mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting to be with the other cast members on the set.
Yeah.
Not necessarily filming. The filming was more like, oh, I have to focus and I can't talk, even though that was not always the case. People were still chit-chatting away, but it was definitely the people who were not at filming at the moment that got to like hang out, and that was the connections and the things that we got to do.
Yeah,
was really cool.
Well, Natalia Lemley, Macy Corsten, Alora Wise, thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to sign off. I'm going to be back in just a few minutes, probably right after Bird Note. I'll come back, and we're going to be talking with Allie Thomas of the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint and Karen Atkins of the Karen Atkins Trio. They have a concert coming up at the Little Carnegie on April 5th. Why, that's tomorrow. So you can check that out tomorrow at the Little Carnegie. We'll be talking to them a little bit about what to expect there. But first, we're going to play some music and let you guys out of the studio. On this date in 1974, so that's 50 years ago, here was the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100. And see if you guys remember this one. This is 88.5 KRFY. And like I said, we'll be back with Allie Thomas and Karen Atkins right after Bird Note at 9 o'clock.